Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll be reading chapter 1. Okay. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today to worship and to pray and to just receive your word. Father, I pray that we listen with open hearts, God, and just allow your Spirit to speak to us. And, we just thank you for having this time and having this place to come and worship. And, we thank you for this morning. We love you in your Son's name, we pray. Amen. Okay. So recently, our church, or the auditors for our church, came in to audit our financial records over the past year. They gave us, or the preliminary report is good, so don't worry, the church finances are in good hands. But as part of the church audit, one of the things that we had to, or in the process of preparing for the Hong Kong government, is we had to write a business review. And part of that is more, you know, the government asking, you know, what did you guys contribute to Hong Kong over the past year in terms of your business? Because, you know, for lack of a better term, we are viewed as a quote-unquote business, although the nonprofit variety in the eyes of Hong Kong. So they're asking us to write this report and, you know, how, you know, what have you added to Hong Kong society? And so this led to an extended conversation between myself and a board member, just trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we define, you know, what we added, or what the success mean? And we're trying to figure out, okay, well, what is our business goal? You know, what are some of the KPIs that we have? And it became this kind of, well, how about this? You know, the conversation was, how about this? And we're like, well, is that really a measure of success? Or is that a goal that we should be striving to as a church? Because, you know, you say, well, how many salvations have we experienced over the past year at church? One, that is incredibly difficult to track, right? And two, is that really a good measure of success? Or how about the number of GIC graduates? That's fairly easy to track. But then again, you know, just because you graduate from GIC doesn't mean, you know, we're more successful or less successful. Or, you know, taking financial indicators, you know, people gave X amount to the church over the past year doesn't mean that, you know, we've added a lot to Hong Kong society, or that, you know, if we received very little donation income doesn't mean that, you know, we've contributed less to Hong Kong society. So, you know, this really led me to think about, you know, what does it mean to have success in ministry, and like, how do I define what a successful goal in ministry is? And, you know, for us in ministry, and I don't mean just us as a pastoral staff, but all of us in ministry, because we're all called to be pastors in our workplace, pastors in our family, we're all called to minister to the people around us. And what does it mean to be successful? So I thought about, okay, well, let's put this in more into like career or like business or, you know, working in as a job. You know, if ministry was a job, I think there'd be two things that you would have to do. Just two main requirements. One is bring people to Christ, and two, disciple those who have come to Christ to mature in their walk as a Christian. And after working at church for over a year now, I asked myself, am I doing that? And what kind of impact am I having? You know, am I bringing people to Christ and discipling people? You know, what kind of impact am I having on their lives? And am I encouraging them to walk, to mature in their faith? You know, am I meeting my goals in ministry? And, you know, while I was thinking about that, God dropped this passage on me to really help shed some light on that question. And not to answer the question, but to kind of place my mind in the right perspective to view ministry. So the background of 1 Thessalonians, you can find it in Acts chapter 17. You don't have to turn there, but Paul goes to Thessalonica and he spends three Sabbaths, preaching to the Jews in the temple. And he managed to get some converts, or he not manages, but the Holy Spirit does a great work in him and people turn to the faith. So he starts off this chapter it's raining heavily outside. I'm dropping water all over my Bible. So he starts off this chapter by just giving a usual greeting that he does in a lot of his letters. And he's writing to encourage the Thessalonians, because after 3 weeks, he was run off by the Jews. So he hasn't had a lot of time to actually disciple the Thessalonians. So he converted them and he had to leave. So he hasn't spent a lot of time in teaching them how to mature, in showing them how to live as a Christian. Basically, he told them, you know, this is what a Christian is, these are some guidelines, and see you guys, I got to leave. So he hasn't been able to talk them through it, walk them through it, pray with them. And so he's trying to encourage them through this letter. And so we get a brief description of what happened when Paul was in town. The Thessalonians fully embraced the word. Despite the circumstances, and they were in verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So despite all the persecution, they fully received the word that came in power, and the Holy Spirit came with full conviction. And Paul is very encouraged to hear that, you know, or that there is a genuine change in their lives, that their work or their faith is bearing fruit. You know, verse 3, Paul commends them, saying, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, you know, your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. So their faith had produced works. Okay? And their love was allowing them to labor with others. And their hope was producing steadfastness or patience to endure this persecution and to continue on in this walk. So there's a lot of fruit being exhibited by the Thessalonians, and Paul was commending them for that. Not only was Paul commending them for specifically this, but he's also showing that there's a lot more to just be their work in Thessalonica. That in verse 7, he commends the Thessalonians that their faith has become a testimony far abroad. So he mentions, Paul mentions Macedonia and Achaia. I think I'm pronouncing that right. So Macedonia was this region north of Thessalonica, and Achaia was this region south of Thessalonica. So what Paul is trying to say is that, you know, your word or the testimony of your faith has gone so far, it's gone to the north and it's gone to the south. It's gone everywhere. So, you know, he's trying to show at the same time there's, your word has gone everywhere and everyone has been hearing about your conversion, how you used to serve idols, but you turned to God to serve a true and living God, and that you're waiting for a son, and verse 9 and 10 tells of their testimony. Not only have people heard about this testimony, but they've also become, you know, very good witnesses. They themselves have become teachers as well. Verse 7, so that you became an example. So people are hearing, and people are also looking to the Thessalonians how to live a Christian life, how to become this mature Christian. They were being taught, and they were teaching so effectively, their witness was so effective, it was to the point where Paul actually had no need to teach these people. In verse 8, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we know we have no need to say anything. So this coming from 3 weeks of ministry, 3 weeks of ministry that Paul was in Thessalonica. He preached for three Sabbaths. You can read it in Acts 17, and then he went off. And from that, you have this such great work of the Holy Spirit in the Thessalonians, so that not only are they a good testimony, but the word of their faith stretches far and wide, and they themselves have become teachers and examples for other new Christians in the area of what to do. So they're being very good witnesses. So, one thing to answer my question, like, oh, what is my goal? You know, what impact am I having? To answer that, God really showed me through this passage. You know, like, Andrew, you're all these questions about, you know, how do you measure success or what your goal should be? You know, really, those aren't necessarily bad things to think about, but if those are, you know, the end as opposed to, you know, the means in some way, like if that is the thing you're focusing on, you're focusing in the wrong place. And you really brought this verse to me, and I asked myself, you know, am I doing this in that, you know, the people that I'm pastoring or the people that I minister to, whether it's house church members or college students or friends that I'm talking to, you know, are they producing the same fruit? And I think the point that I wanted to bring out for us is we should look to pastor ourselves out of a job, meaning that our witness and our, I guess, the way we imitate Christ, you know, people will see that and they will imitate Christ like that as well, to the point where they start doing the work for you. You know, I got that line, we should pass ourselves out of job, from my friend. This was a long time ago when he was in seminary. And his point was, you know, it's not that you yourself are doing all the work. And, you know, say if there's a group of 10 people, you're reaching out to 10 different people. But part of that ministry is you reach out to one person and you build them up and you disciple them to the point where they start building up other people as well. You know, and this is what Paul effectively has done. He's saying that, oh, you know, you guys have taken my job. There's no need for me to do anything anymore. Now, that isn't to say, you know, your job is done, that, oh, I'm done ministry. I've, you know, hit my prime and I can retire now. Because, you know, God's work is never done. But his point was, you know, I think his point was, you know, you guys are doing such a good job that I can leave, you know, this to you. And it doesn't mean that I'm cutting off all contact because you guys have matured, but, you know, he's truly trying to encourage them and commend them for their walk. Yeah, so for us, I think we should look to minister to people or to walk with people in their faith with a view that one day they will do the same for others. And this really should inform the way or set the way we do our mentality and how we do ministry or how we, you know, even taking away like how we do ministry, because that sounds like such what's the term I'm looking for? Sounds like such a big and high mighty, like, oh, you're doing ministry. Like even how we talk to our friends, how we interact with them and how we, you know, exemplify Christ, how we imitate Christ and show that to them. Now that having that mindset that one day they will be doing that to others really informs and directs how we actually talk to them. Because you know, if we want them to grow and for them to do the same thing and disciple other people, we wouldn't really just kind of take a step back and like, oh, you guys are struggling through that. Okay, well, let me pray for you and leave it at that. You know, I think that our mindset would be, oh, you're struggling through this. Let me pray for you. But are you doing this? And really probing and asking those hard questions and really encouraging them to take those opportunities that come up that God is giving them to stretch them, to bring up those issues that, you know, they are to work through. You know, it's not just a, oh, we'll take things as they come kind of attitude, but really pushing them to grow, really pushing them into maturity, like really pushing them to, oh, you know, you have this person at work that is, you know, that always gets on your nerves, and yeah, you pray for them. It's good job. No, and it is good, because sometimes it's really hard to pray for people like that you have a hard time getting along with. But have you ever had a real conversation with them? Have you, you know, talked about the conflict that you guys have had, or, you know, there's awkwardness at work and, you know, we don't talk about that kind of stuff and we should play nice, but why don't you say, why don't we grab a coffee and really talk this through? Now, that's really hard to do, but those are the kind of things that we should be pushing, you know, our friends to do. And, you know, parents, my parents used to do this to me. They really pushed me into situations that I didn't like doing, but they knew that it was good for my growth instead of staying in this little place where everything was safe. Now, getting people to change, to show that outward change, might not happen overnight. And like I said before, if that is our goal, to get them to change, it's hard to do. It isn't hard to do, but our goal shouldn't be to get them to change, but our goal should be to, you know, encourage them to get on that path. It isn't to become, bam, mature Christian, 100%, but to continue down that path. And now this is in line with Jesus' commandment about going and making disciples of all nations. And it doesn't mean that discipling stops with you. You might have a really good mentor and they're awesome. They're praying for you, they're encouraging you, and you feel yourself growing in Christ. And when you read the Bible, there's revelation and God is speaking to you, and worship times are so crazy, and you pray and all these things, but it kind of stops with you. There isn't that, I guess, paying it forward in some way. You're not the one going out and reaching out to people and, you know, putting yourselves in some uncomfortable situation, but those are situations that God has placed on your heart. So it doesn't stop with you. You should be keeping the line moving, so to speak. And just as an example of this passing yourself out of a job, this past season of House Church was my first season of leading House Church. And I was always worried about, you know, how would I do it? Because our House Church was 9 people. And within about a month or two of the start of new season, we had gone up to like 12, 13. We're like, what? We're back to where we started. We multiplied because there's so many people. And now there's so many people again. Oh, we're going to have to multiply again. And oh, we don't have any leaders. And, you know, and so this is always a worry on my head. But throughout the season, we actually began to see a lot of growth. And there was one member in particular. They did such an amazing job of showing me what this passing yourself out of a job is. Because there's no way I could have reached out to 13 different people. Actually, at one point, it was like 15 with people temporary coming in. And what actually happened, this one member, I don't want to name their names because I haven't asked them for permission to tell this. But so we had a temporary newcomer come, and this person was in town for, it would have been like 2 months, 2-3 months. So they came to our House Church, and this one member took them under their wing. I'm being very careful not to use any gender identifications. And every time there was an event, or even this person was, oh, I'm going to hang out with friends, would bring along this person who was here just temporarily on a work contract. And through constantly just bringing her out and ministering to her, dang it. Person A, person B. So constantly ministering to her and just spending time with her, praying for her and like asking about her life and really starting this process of discipleship. By the time this person left to go back home, her trip had been, her contract had been cut short, and all of a sudden she had to leave. And so we're like, oh, okay, well, let's have a going away dinner. Because of this entire process and the time that this person spent and really sowing into her, by the time this person left, she was so touched, and she saw the work of this the Holy Spirit within this house church member, just reaching out to her, and she's like, "Wow, I never knew that community could be like this. I never knew that church could be so powerful." And you know, I'm gonna go back home. I'm gonna take this testimony with me, and I'm gonna for sure take all the things that you guys have taught me and try to do this for other people that I come in contact with in my work, in my industry. So I saw that whole entire process playing out. I was like, oh man, I didn't even have to do anything, because it was just God that was working. And I was just so encouraged. And when I read this, you know, God was saying, like, you know, that's kind of that's part of what being a pastor is like, where you get to see that happening. You get to encourage those people to take those opportunities to do that. So, as Pastor Nate leads us in worship, just two things to consider, and I've already mentioned them before, is the line stopping at you? In other words, you know, are we just receiving, and you know, we're doing good things, but are we sowing into other people and discipling other people? And two, this is more of an open question. Now, if you are ministering to others, how effective, or what are some, this is, I guess, question to really ask God and for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, you know, what are some ways that we can be, quote unquote, more effective at encouraging them to become teachers themselves? Now, how can we get them to imitate Christ in such a way that others see that? Others see Christ in them, and in turn, they want to imitate Christ. And go to others and show them, hey, I'm imitating Christ. I want you to know this life that is in me. So as we worship today, you know, just really think about that. You know, ask the Holy Spirit, what are some things that I can do? You know, what are some things that I can do better? What are some things that I can start doing? And just really asking God to work through you, for Him to do the work through you.
Your will above all.
Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Will above all.
Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. Yeah. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the end. Inside out, Lord, my soul cries out everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
Yeah, Father, we thank you, God, and we just pray, Lord, that you stir in our hearts to, and like Pastor Nate talked about, to be bold and to take a step into those opportunities and to take those opportunities to be able to minister to people and to really encourage them to kind of take our job, to disciple others. Lord, I pray that you fill us, God, with your spirit, Lord, and power and that conviction to go out and to, yeah, just to encourage others, to exhort others, to continue that walk, into becoming a mature Christian, or to mature as a Christian. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are currently undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those who are sick and also need the Lord in their lives. Let's pray for the family members as they continue to pray for their sickness, that they also pray for their hearts to be turned to God. And let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God opens up doors for them and God gives them wisdom and discernment for the opportunities that do come in front of them. Turning to our Wednesday morning prayer focus, let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pastor Han Su and Chloe, and their baby boy Enoch. Let's pray that as he leads, that God just fills him with His Spirit and His power, and that the church, there's growth, and there's, you know, people are coming to Christ and coming to a deeper revelation of who God is. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents. Edie Clark, I believe she's actually in Hong Kong right now, and all the other churches in China. Let's pray that they are the catalyst of change in that country. Thank you. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for wisdom and discernment as they lead the church, and you know, really pray over direction of the church. And finally, let's pray for all the fellowship ministries that we have, the men's ministry and all the things that they have, the Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire Group, men's fraternity. Let's pray for women's ministry, their prayer meeting on Monday, their discipleship group, and also the retreat coming up in September. And let's really pray for that all the women in SP will have the opportunity to go and just to hear from God that day. Let's also pray for the young adults, for Pastor Ken, and that there is growth in their lives as they live out their lives. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for your word and for your power in our lives, God. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, you continue just to fill us up, Lord. Fill us up so that we overflow onto the people around us, into our workplaces, where we can touch our colleagues, God, where we can touch our friends, our family, those who are unsaved, those who are saved, and encouraging them to reach out as well and to disciple and to go out and not to remain, you know, in their own shells, afraid and unaware of this power that you have given to us. So, Father, I pray that as we go to our lives today, that you just reveal to us that power that is available to us, God, that thing you do when you work through us, Lord, that we can do incredible things because it is you that is doing the work. So, Lord, be with my brothers and sisters. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep them dry today in the rain. And we just thank you. We love you. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Continue to enjoy this time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.